You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with James of Def Havana. A beautiful moment in a band's career is when they decide to define themselves, rather than have others do it for them. It's an interesting place to be riddled with uncertainty, but Def Havana are more than up to the challenge. Their latest album, Rituals, is sure to turn heads, both positively and negatively. Within this talk, James goes into why such changes had to happen and the experiences that inspired the band's new sound. He also goes into why such polarization will only lead to good things, while also taking time to look back at the achievements the band has earned throughout their career. This is the 405 Exchange with Def Havana. Enjoy. You know, it's really brilliant getting to talk to you. All these countless nights was very much a make or break album for the band, and the fact that you're back with a new album is a testament to what that album must have done for you guys. Would that be fair to say?
Well, it's very flattering to say that, but I guess so. But thank you very much for saying that, man.
Absolutely. Like, I'm curious, what was it like coming off touring for Countless Nights? And was there, like, I wonder, like, did the time coming off touring for that feel different than the times you finished touring previous albums?
Yeah, it felt, I think also the touring felt different. Like, it felt more satisfying. It felt like we actually had something to tour. Whereas before, I was kind of just, I don't know, I felt like I was all over the place. And this was more like a body of work to tour. And when we came off it, I didn't really know what to do with myself. And normally, I'm like, I can't wait to get off tour. But all these countless nights, I just kind of wanted to just keep going.
That's interesting. What do you think it is that in the past would make you like feel like you can't wait to get off tour?
I don't know. A couple things. Maybe just me. I think I took it for granted for a long time. Like, I definitely didn't appreciate how amazing it is to be able to travel around the world and hang out with your best friends all day and like play music. And it kind of, I think it just, honestly, probably mainly maturity. I probably just grew up a bit and was like, you know what, this is actually something that I want to do forever. And I started taking it more seriously. I guess I believed a bit more in the songs, and I don't know, but it felt differently. I felt a shift in the whole band. It wasn't just me. It was like this, it felt like what we were supposed to be doing, as opposed to before. It just felt like we were kind of being on vacation, if you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. It's a weird lifestyle, because like I used to tour quite my fair bit as well, and something that I got feeling to was you, like, especially if you're doing when you're like 19, 20 around then, you want to prove that you're even worth doing it so much. So like you force yourself to take it seriously, but almost like too narrow, I think.
Yeah, of course. Totally. We had that problem so many times.
Yeah. You know, Rituals is such a different beast, and the best way to start talking about this album would be to go into your single, Hell. I mean, that tune feels a bit like a bridge for the style you're known for and the new direction you guys are going towards. Did it feel that way when you were making the song?
It didn't, man. You know, it's funny you say that, and I've heard a couple other people say that. It did not feel like that at all. For me, I thought Hell was like, I thought that was the weirdest song on the record. Like, I thought if there was a song that people weren't going to like, it would be that one.
But that's surprising. Wow. Oh, I'm curious in regards to just the record itself, because I got to live with it a little bit of a while, and it's really interesting. Because something that's interesting to me is when you integrate records into your life, like when you listen to them on like the train or the bus or like just
walking.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, and I'm curious, like, I'm trying to think of a better word to use than different, but this album is, it's very different, like.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I guess, yeah, I don't really know what the reasoning for that was. Like, it wasn't a conscious decision. It just kind of, like, I had never envisaged our next record sounding the way this one does. So it was such a bizarre turn of events. I don't know how it happened, but I don't know what, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I dig it too. You know, I think one of the things that must have contributed to it is that it feels like a more collaborative album. Was that the case when you guys were in the studio? Like, did it feel like you guys were pulling like inspiration off of each other more than anything else?
In Rituals?
Yeah.
It actually was the total opposite. It was So all these countless nights was totally collaborative. Like, we were all in the studio together. But Rituals was almost just me and my friend Phil, who he kind of produced it and wrote a bunch with me. So I guess it was collaborative in that sense. But, like, the other guys, they weren't around that much.
Wow. So was there, like, a case of, like, almost, like, presentation where you had to, like, present the album to them in a way?
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't get the album finished and then give them that, because that would have been I think that would have been a bit disrespectful and a bit of a shock. But, like, yeah. I initially went up there to record with my friend with the intention of maybe doing, like, a demo or something. And then we ended up recording this song, which happened to be Sinner, and I remember sending it to the guys, and I think it definitely shocked them, but they were on board pretty early on, so it was pretty cool. And they did get involved. Like, a couple of the guys came up and they were involved, but it started out more, it was more just weird ideas that I had in my head that I wouldn't normally use for our bangs. I thought they were too poppy or whatever, but then I just kind of was like, you know what, let's see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I would love to, I mean, I know you can't speak for the band, obviously, but I'm really curious in how do you think they put their heads together for that song? Because there is, like, a bit of a, like, a cohesiveness within that song itself, in Sinner.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think they definitely, like, when I sent the original demo to them, they definitely listened to it and came up with their own parts, and they definitely, they were integrated in the end, of course, because otherwise it would be a solo record, which would be ridiculous. But I think it was good because it wasn't in their comfort zone at all. So they kind of had to, like you said, live with it for a bit and, like, get used to it, and then you can start to enjoy it. Because at first it's just a shock. It's like, why? What are you doing?
I mean, it's interesting when I think back to Countless Nights, because I remember the way you guys would talk about that record before it came out, a little bit after.
Yeah.
It was so clear that record was reflective of your life at the time and what you were going through. And
yeah, of course.
Yeah, and you hope that music is always that, but sometimes it's not. Do you feel like with Rituals, when you were writing it, it was reflective of where you were at the time?
I don't know if it was reflective. Maybe musically, yeah, because I guess the more poppy side of stuff is kind of what we all listen to now, actually, really. But I don't know, like, lyrically on this record, on Rituals, I definitely drew inspiration from many years ago and, like, darker experiences in the past. Whereas all these Countless Nights was very, it was very immediate. It was pretty much what just happened to me, you know, and then I kind of put that in. But yeah, this one was going back a bit further, but musically it was pretty immediate. It was kind of drawing from, like, immediate experiences.
Does it feel nice being able to say that in the regards of, like, the musical context? Because something I've been noticing more is that bands are feeling more comfortable drawing inspiration, like, outside of, like, rock music. And, like, it's weird how, even though that's, like, the norm, it still feels like almost like a brave thing to do.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. Like, do you know what? It feels like not at the time, but, like, now, it feels like if I'd have thought about it, I would be too scared to release this record, but it just kind of happened. But I guess it is kind of a brave thing to do, because rock music, especially in the UK, can be very insular and people can be very judgmental. Like, I remember the first time I heard, I can't remember which band, but they had a song, they used to be like a rock band, and then they integrated maybe one synth, and, like, the uproar they got from that was crazy. So I was, like, I was very scared about this, but I don't know. I think people are a bit more open-minded now.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys have several albums out now. I mean, I imagine with that, it must feel like there's even more of a case where you could be more creative, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, I get bored very easily. My attention span is incredibly short, but which is why, like, every record sounds a bit different, because, like, but again, like, I look up to artists like David Bowie, who every record was completely different. Even, like, Springsteen, a lot of his records went in different directions. I think people have forgotten about those artists that were creative with each record and did kind of change up their style. Because everything is kind of, not everything, but there's a lot of bands which just have found their sound and just stay in it. And, like, we did that for a bit. Like, Countless Nights was a safe record, I think, for us to release.
Really?
I think so. Like, I think because the record before that, people didn't really dig that much, but the record before that one, like the first record where I was the front man, people really liked it, and I think All These Countless Nights sounds a bit more like that. So it was, I don't know, it felt safe at the time, but this one now feels, I mean, I'm a bit more confident now, because luckily the response to Sinner and Hell has been much better than I ever thought it would be. But I, when we finished recording, I was like, people are gonna
do you know what? I actually don't think I've had the chance to ask a musician this yet, so this will be kind of interesting. But like with what you just said, like how you describe the way people reacted to your first record and the record after that and all that, like what is it like being a creator and being like conscious of those things? Like, is it, does it feel strange for you at all?
It definitely does feel strange, because of course you have to honor the people that buy your music. Like, if I'm being totally honest, the reason we are allowed to do this is because kind people around the world like our music and listen to our music and buy our music and come to our shows. So you kind of have to honor them and create the music that they want to hear. But then on the other side, I'm always, my brain is always evolving. I'm always like listening to different stuff, and I get, like I told you, I get bored really easily. So I always want to put new influences in. So it is really weird to try and find that balance. But I don't know, I think now I've just reached a point where I'm like, I'm getting a bit older now, and I need to make music that I really want to play, and I'm just going to just hope people like it as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because you would almost think like that should go almost hand in hand, but like you can find yourself not considering if you enjoy your own music. Like, not just you, but musicians in general. That's interesting.
Yeah, totally. No, definitely. I've definitely written songs purely with people that listen to our music in mind and not myself, and I end up, you end up hating it, because you end up, if you have to play the song live every day for, I don't know, 2 months, you're gonna, and if you don't like it in the first place, it's gonna catch up to you. So I think you have to be true to yourself in the end.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I would love to hear how the music video for Sinner came about. Like, what's the story behind that one?
We have a guy, one of our friends, AJ Gomez. He's based out of Monterrey, Mexico. And he did like a bunch of videos for the last record, and we were just kind of like, we were, to be honest, I'd kind of forgotten about the fact that you have to make music videos, because I was so like involved and like freaked out about releasing Sinner, because I knew we were going to release it first and then do a video, but I'd almost forgotten about that. So we had to scramble it together really quickly. But he's amazing. Like, he has a really great vision, and I just sent him an email. I was like, I sent him the song, and I was like, see what you interpret this. I was like, maybe can you take, I don't know, religious themes and turn them on their head, and then just because I knew he has this weird sensibility about him where he can create like dark situations, and the song is quite uplifting. So I just wanted to see what he could do, but I don't really have any credit in that. It was mainly AJ. He came up with all those cool ideas.
Wow, that's incredible. That's a very vague brief to give someone. It's great he was able to carry through with that.
Yeah, but he kind of works like that. Like, he did Fever Trigger and Sing on the last record. We didn't really give him any direction. We just sent him the songs. We were like, can you... And then we sent him like a couple references of videos that we liked, and he just came up with these amazing ideas. He's an artist.
Wow, that's really mega. You know what? I know it'll sound like a weird question, but I feel like with Sinner, it showcases how much more forward the vocals are overall in this overall album. Is that something you guys noticed too? And what did you make of that?
I guess that was kind of, that's all, because we've always approached it very much like a rock band. So it's always been, I guess, just an integral part of the song. But I guess we did, between myself and Phil, who produced the record, we did approach it in like way more of a pop aspect. And you'll always find the vocals are very prominent and very forward. And I don't know, like, I think it has been mixed completely different. That's like a mixing element, I guess. And it seems to work, but, and the lyrics are quite dark. So I guess I wanted people to hear those. The main thing was, we just wanted it to be completely different to anything we've done before.
I'm curious of that though, like, because with you being this, do you need any convincing in putting your vocals in that way, or?
Sometimes, because I'm not that confident. Like, I didn't really want to be a front man in the first place. But you know what? Like, I think in the last couple of years, I have like owned it a bit more, and I have grown up, and I've accepted the fact that this is what I do now. So. It, in a way, it's incredibly nerve-wracking, but in a way, it's also super exciting.
That's really great, man.
Thanks, man.
You know, I'm curious, like, what's one of the newer songs you've been incorporating to the set that's been really exciting you guys lately? Like, one of the newer songs that isn't Sinner or Hell?
There's a song called Holy, which is on the record. We started playing that live, which is super fun, because it's unlike anything we've ever done before. And, like, I have to, like, fiddle around. Like, I start off just singing, and I grab my guitar at the end and play. It's again, quite out of our comfort zone. But we haven't actually played that many, because we've only done a couple of shows since we've released those songs. But come later this year, when the record's released, I'm looking forward to playing a song called Heaven, because it's totally different to anything that we've ever done, and I don't really know how we're going to do it live yet, so that'll be fun.
Wow, that's interesting, because there are so many of you guys on stage already. I would imagine yeah. You guys had that figured out.
I think we're going to get more. I think we're going to get a choir and stuff for that as well, because there's a couple like choral vocals on the record, so if we can do it, that'd be amazing.
Are you guys... Sorry about that.
No, you're good, man.
Yeah, for people listening, it is 9 in the morning here. No, well, 10. 10 in the morning here in New York. And you're in Spain, right?
Yeah, I'm in Valencia.
Yeah, are you guys... Valencia's fucking beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's sick.
It's really... Are you guys going to do a show tonight, or about to do a show?
No, we just played a show in Madrid. We just played a show in Madrid. Mad Cool Festival. It was really cool. And then a bunch of my friends are staying in a villa in Valencia, so me and my wife just got a train and came here. Now we're just chilling.
That's mega. I heard about Mad Cool. I heard about like how Massive Attack dropped out. Do you heard about all that stuff?
Yeah. So I think that it's amazing, the festival. It's really cool, but I think the stages are quite close together. And Franz Ferdinand were playing, and I think Massive Attack the sound would have like bled over to the other stage, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I was drunk by that point, so I couldn't possibly comment.
you know what? It's kind of a weird thing, because on one hand, it does feel kind of shitty that they would just like leave, but on the other, it's like you weirdly almost get it if you're that tied to like, I guess, your art or something. I don't know. It's like a weird middle ground.
Yeah, no, I'm totally like, I feel like everyone, I'd like to think everyone feels that way, because you can. It does seem like a dickish thing at first, but especially a band like Massive Attack, they have so many small little intricate elements that if there's like a loud rock band playing across the way, like it's going to interfere with that.
Yeah, totally.
But them pulling out is going to annoy so many fans that probably have never seen them before, which definitely sucks.
Yeah, especially because they don't tour as often as they used to as well. Like.
Exactly.
Yeah, fucking hell. You know what, going back to your own shows, I'm curious, like, what, because I was talking about, like, integrating new songs into the set, but, you know, it's interesting when you consider how many albums you guys have had. That's an experience you've had so many times over the years. I wonder, like, what has it been like to continuously integrate newer songs into your set list? Like, what is that like for you?
It's super fun. Like, with anything, I guess the fresher it is, the more you want to do it. And it's like every time we integrate new songs, it's really exciting. But it does get difficult, because we have quite a few songs now. And for instance, if we have to play with the festival we just played, it was a 40-minute set, and we've never played in Spain before. And we had like a bunch of people saying, "Oh, can you play this? Can you play this?" But we also have two new songs which we feel like we're obliged to play. So that's already taken up almost 10 minutes out of a 40-minute set. And then we have three records to pick songs from to fill the rest of it. And it is really difficult to do. But you have to kind of weigh up what people want to hear. Like, sometimes it sucks when you go and see a band and all they play is new songs, because you just want to sing along. But on the other hand, you've got to think about, like, as a member of a band and an artist, I do always want to play new songs. But I don't know, it's just an eternal toss-up of what you think people want to hear and what you want to do. It's difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine it being difficult. And, you know, going into difficulties, one of the big things I've appreciated about you and the band is how you've been very candid about the difficulties of being a full-time band. Like, I remember a little bit before the last album, you guys would be big on talking about that, sometimes with The Guardian and other publications. And, you know, it's interesting. I think this is a weird time where, in 2018, like, I find myself, because a lot of my friends are musicians and my peers, and like, and I'll sometimes talk with them about how weird it is that money is the thing that it is in society, yet it's weirdly openly discussed, if that makes any sense. Like,
of course, yeah, totally.
It's like, very it's weird.
it's super weird, and I think it, I don't know. It again, that's another like conundrum, because it's like we don't do this for money, but like I'm in my late 20s now, and I can't really justify being in like a. I can't justify like traveling around in a van playing music for no money, because I should be settled by now. But I don't know. It is just, again, it's just a toss up. It's like I chose this lifestyle, but it doesn't. Unfortunately, with the climate of music these days, you can sell out a 5,000 capacity venue and still struggle to pay your rent.
And so many people, I think what's really interesting about you saying it so succinctly, so many people hearing that just now, that's probably their first time even hearing that or considering that. Like, that seems unfathomable to some people.
Yeah, totally. Like, even to my friends who I've been friends with for years, who have been with me through the whole thing, they still don't understand how, like, most of the time we don't have much money and we don't make much money, but it's just the way it goes. Like, it costs a lot of money to put on a show, it costs a lot of money to tour, it costs a lot of money to do everything. So, and we are always, the artist is always the person that gets paid last. Like, everyone who works on the show and everyone who works, I don't know, in front of you gets paid first, and the artist is always the person who gets paid last.
Yes.
Yeah,
I really do appreciate and respect the fact that you've always been able to be so candid about this stuff. I know it's almost like a weird question to ask, but I just kind of want to explore it. Like, I personally believe it's important to be open and honest in that regard, but I'd love to hear you go into why it's important for you.
For me, it's important because I've always been of the belief that I don't think there should be any barriers between an artist and a fan, or an artist and someone who isn't, I don't know, in the creative industry. I think everyone is completely entitled to know what goes on behind the scenes. Although there is a great element of like mystery, and it's awesome to like see a band that you love and like get excited about it. I do think it's important for people to know that it's not as glamorous as it seems. And but also that's just the way I am in my life. I like to be completely open. Because I think, although it may be a bit, I don't know, not offensive, but it can be a bit too candid at times. I think it's important to be like that, because eventually it works out for the best.
Yeah, I definitely hear that. You know, and we're definitely going to like get off this topic in a bit, but something I really am curious from your perspective, like when you think about what it takes to be in a band, the lifestyle of that career, what do you feel is something that's like, what do you feel is something that's like unknown by most people that could use some better understanding? Like, what do you think might help people understand a bit better?
About like what it takes to be in a band and travel and stuff.
Yeah, particularly like just the lifestyle of it. Because it is, I mean, I just want to say it isn't so much just performing. It's so much other factors as well that I think it's almost insurmountable, like the type of day to day you have when you think about it.
Yeah, you're totally right. And you know what? I think you just nailed it. I think that's what people don't see. I think people who got, like, even myself included, like, can you remember before you knew anyone who was in a band and used to go to a show? It was like a magic experience, and you just assumed that their lifestyle was like this amazing thing. But, like, honestly, I think this is what people don't know. 90% of your day is spent waiting around, doing nothing, or traveling. And I think that's what people don't realize. Because, like, again, even like close friends of mine are like, oh, so you must be like partying the whole time. Like, no, we're like waiting around, traveling. Yeah, we do have a good time. Of course you do. And I'm so grateful for the fact that I get to live this lifestyle. But it's not as glamorous as it was in like the 60s, 70s, 80s, or even 90s. It's a lot of traveling, a lot of sitting in a van, a lot of getting annoyed.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it is, like, you know, something, when you put it that way, it kind of reminds me of, I can't remember who pointed it out, but someone was talking, an actor was talking about acting, and they said the strangest thing about acting is that when you're on a set, you're essentially waiting all day, but you're pretty much called, you're, like, tapped on the shoulder, and on a moment's notice, you're told you have to perform to the best of your ability, no matter what the circumstances are. And I think that's, contrast of what you do, because it's very much true as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe not quite as
not as intensely.
I guess I would get maybe an hour's warning, if I had to go and do it like a session or something. But it is almost the case. Like, it's very last minute, it's a very volatile lifestyle. Like, nothing really is set in stone. Like, it could change at a moment's notice, which is, I guess, the instability of it all is the main thing that throws people off. And I guess leads people to, I don't know, like drugs and alcohol, and like because that can become a constant in a really unstable lifestyle. But yeah, you're right. Like, it can be like at a moment's notice, you have to go do this, you have to go do this.
Yeah, it's really insane. You know, before I let you go, I'm curious, what do you think the Deaf Havana that made your debut album would think about Rituals? Like, I know that's a bit of a weird question, but because the album's so different, I'm almost curious what you think your younger self would think about it.
I think if I was myself when I was 19 and wrote that first record, I'd listen to Rituals, and I'd be jealous that I couldn't write those songs yet.
Really?
Because I do this thing where if I'm jealous of something, I pretend I don't like it. I guess everyone does. So I would probably just pretend I hated it, but really I was secretly like, fuck, they've written a way better record than us. So, but I don't know. Like, I think we'd still like it. Like, we've always grown up on kind of the poppiest side of music, and I've always written songs of like pop structures. So I think maybe at that point in time, I would be a bit young and angsty and probably be like, oh, you sold out. probably that's what I'd say.
That type of honesty is fucking amazing. Dude, thanks for chatting with me today. I appreciate it.
No, my sins are found. They won't boil.